I'm on. Wow. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Well, it's a privilege to be able to finally stand before you and to speak tonight. I've really enjoyed my time so far. You guys have been really friendly. Heard some great stories. It's been really a good thing for me to meet so many of you and interact from you. As Dustin talked about last week when he talked about education and learning, I would say that I've definitely already learned a lot from you guys. And so I appreciated him pointing that out, because that's definitely something I've experienced already. And I want to go ahead and take this time also to thank you once again. I thank many of you Wednesday night. But to thank you once again for your help in the Back to School Bash. So many of you that it just could not have happened, basically, without what you did. Either manning a station, talking to people out there, getting school supplies ready. Basically, no matter what part you played, just know that it played a part ultimately in what we wanted to do, and that's reaching this community. That's in letting the parents know what we offer here as a church. That's telling people about Jesus. So much more than just giving them school supplies. And so I want to thank you once again for what you did. It is much appreciated. So tonight, I have been tasked with explaining a little bit about what the Bible says about youth ministry, why it is that we do it, and then also a little bit about youth ministry specifically here at Vine Street. And this continues in our series that we're doing on Sunday nights on each of the different ministries here at Vine Street that the pastors oversee, and a little bit about the Bible, what it says about that, and then why we do it here. And so let me just say right from the outset that I think I have the hardest topic. And that's because, I'm not sure if you realize this or not, but there is no passage I can take you to in the Bible that says, here is how youth ministry is done. It says, here is what a youth pastor should do. Here's what a youth pastor should be. Here's how you should structure your Wednesday night activities. Here's the kind of events that you should go to, and so on and so on. And so that makes it a little difficult. And some people would say that because of that, then, we shouldn't do youth ministry. They would say that because it's not mentioned in the Bible, and because the Bible places such a heavy emphasis on the parents training up their children, then youth ministry is unbiblical. That not only am I wrong for what I'm doing, but I should probably lose my job. I shouldn't be basically doing what I'm doing. We should give it all over to the parents. Let them take care of it. It's their job. And I would counter this by saying that there are lots of things in the Bible that aren't specifically addressed, we aren't specifically told how to do them or that we should be doing them. And yet, we don't really question those things. So like Sunday school or men's ministry or the nursery or having a church website or you name it. But no one questions those things. We understand that that is an integral part of the church. It's something that matters. There is a basis for it in the Bible, even if we can't point to a specific verse. And so we do those things. And I would say it's the same way with youth ministry. I think that even though we can't point to a specific text and say, here is where it gives these outlines of what to do and the qualifications for a youth minister, that there are principles in the Bible that we can look at, and there are things that we can see in there, and we can say, okay, that tells us a little bit about youth ministry. That gives us somewhat of a basis for why we do what we do. And so what I want to do tonight is just to highlight very quickly a few of those principles. And so I would start off first of all by saying that the main principle is that the family is the primary method for building faith in youth. That parents are the primary means for nurturing the faith of a child. And we've seen this a lot, actually, in the recent series that Ben's been going through on Sunday mornings. And I think a passage that just conveys this very easily is Deuteronomy 6. We read this before, I'm going to read it again. Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So what you see taught here by Moses is this idea that what happens in the life of a child, training them up to be a man or a woman of God, it doesn't get licensed out to a bunch of people at the church and that's it. No, he said that it's something that happens at home. It happens every day, no matter what you're doing. You talk about the Bible, you instruct them, you teach them wise things, you sing songs, etc. It's about what happens at home. And so that's a very clear teaching. You can't get around that. That's there. Ephesians 6 in the New Testament tells parents to bring up their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, that it is the father's job to train up children. We can't get around that. That is a very clear biblical principle. And what I would say is that we want to kind of nuance this a little bit by saying that the Bible places the responsibility first and foremost on parents. Hear that? First and foremost on parents. It's primary. That's the kind of language I want to use because that's the kind of language that the Bible uses. But don't hear me say that the family is the only means for training up a child. Don't hear me say that it's the only means for youth hearing the Word of God and being built up in faith. Because that's not what the Bible says. I think that neglects the way that God has intended the church to function. And I would say it misses a very practical reason for doing youth ministry. And I want to cover that in the second principle. And the second principle is that the primary task of the church is to make disciples. And so we see this in Matthew 28, a passage that you would know as the Great Commission. And Jesus says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then a parallel passage that I think kind of echoes this, Colossians 1:28. Paul says, "Him we proclaim," speaking of Jesus, "warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Now, the argument that I want to make tonight is that the two principles that we've mentioned here, that the primary means for instructing children in the faith comes in the home, and secondly, that the church's goal, the church's mission is to make disciples, that these two principles are not mutually exclusive. That we can't say, well, we can only hold to one of these and we can't do the other, that if the parents are going to train the children, then the church can't play any part, and that if the church plays a part, then the parents can't play any part. That's not how it works. I think what the Bible is teaching us here is that these two principles go hand in hand. What I want you to see is that that is what I believe is the basis then, according to the Bible, for doing youth ministry. That in other words, in the ideal youth ministry, the way it would work is that the youth minister, the youth pastor, the youth workers, everything that I would do would be first and foremost to instruct the parents to raise up their children at home. That would be the ideal, while also working with youth themselves. That the parents in the youth ministry, the parents in the church, the families in the church work together. That it's not this one-sided deal on either's part, but that we ultimately are both playing a role in making disciples of these children, or these youth. So it's not like the church is the disciple children on its own independent, but the two are supposed to work hand in hand. And so what this means then is that youth ministry should not be a matter of just dropping your kid off on a Wednesday night and saying, well, we'll just leave it to the professionals and let them do it. It's really not the way it's supposed to work. Parents should be teaching and discipling their children at home, and the youth pastor should be part of this process, assisting and training the parents in their task. And I would say that all of this occurs within the scope of the ministries of the church. So in other words, what happens in youth ministry should not be viewed as this independent ministry where what goes on in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights is, well, I don't really know what goes on Wednesday nights. They kind of do their own thing. That's the youth, etc. That's kind of how it was at the church I was raised in, that the youth were like their own separate deal. And the families and the youth didn't really interact. They would have never had a whole lot of conversations with older people. They wouldn't have had any kind of gaining that wisdom, that valuable knowledge that you get from those interactions. And frankly, that's just not biblical. They are just as much a part of the body. To echo the language of Chris's sermon last week, we can't just say, like, well, that's a foot, you know, and we're up here, and we don't really want to pay attention to them because I'm a hand or whatever. No, it all comes together. It's all part of the body of Christ, and it plays an integral role in reaching the world. And so many youth groups, I think, are structured like this, and I think it's just flat out wrong. I think youth ministry is another ministry of the church that it falls under the same umbrella of, say, worship ministry, or the children's ministry, or men's ministry, or, you know, you name it. That under the goal, as Matthew 28 mentioned, of making disciples, I think we can put youth ministry under there, just like we can put all those other ministries. I think that's what he's talking about. And I would say that we all participate in different ways, and obviously my role as a youth pastor is going to be different than someone who isn't responsible for coming down there and teaching the kids every night. But it's not like you have no part in what happens down there. The Bible would say that the church, because we function as a whole, that you're responsible also for praying for the youth. I think we have a responsibility, just as I do with any other ministry, to keep up with what's going on. It's good for the body to be informed of what we're doing, of how we're ministering, of what's going on and what kind of results we've seen and how people are growing. It's good to want to know those kinds of things. And so I would say that's just a very, very brief overview of biblical youth ministry. And what I want to do now is to spend a little bit of time talking about specifically, though, what that looks like at Vine Street. Because I think really the youth ministry at Vine Street, to me, serves as a really good argument against these people that would say, you can't do youth ministry, it's unbiblical. Because I would ask them, well, then what do you do here? If you're going to say that you hand it over to the parents and you let them do everything in their home, then who reaches the youth that come on Wednesday nights here? Who is ever going to go and tell them about Jesus? Because let's be honest, guys, if I handed over the keys to the parents tonight, I mean, we're done. They're not doing anything with the kids. And that's a problem, and that makes it a little bit more difficult. That's where the ideal youth ministry according to the Bible and the way that we have it set up here, they're not exactly in congruence. And that makes it a little bit of a challenge. But at the same time, I think that we still continue doing what we're doing, and we just do it maybe a little bit differently. And so I would say it's not really a far-fetched idea, as I mentioned, for you guys to imagine what it would be like if I handed over the youth ministry to these parents. And I think we all know the situation that basically what we have on Wednesday nights, we have about 15 or 20 youth that come, and they're mostly from the neighborhood, and they come from broken situations and hard homes, and there are many of them, I would say most likely, are probably not Christians. And they would tell you that as well. And that's the situation. That's where we're at right now. The reality is, as Ben put it whenever I was talking to him first about coming here and serving, that you almost have to treat it as more of an evangelism opportunity than anything else. That the primary need for these students is for them to hear the gospel. That first and foremost, we need to make sure that we are communicating to them the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done, and now what they must do to be saved. That's the primary goal. And I think that makes it a really unique situation and a very challenging situation as well. So I would say my primary goal is to not just teach these students on Wednesday nights, but honestly, looking down the road, I would absolutely love nothing more than to not just reach one of these students for Jesus, but to reach their families as well. I mean, that would be huge, and that's the goal. The reality is these kids aren't coming on Wednesday or on Sunday mornings. They're basically just consigned to Wednesday nights, probably because their families don't come on Sunday mornings. They're not in church either. They don't have that support system at home. And so biblically and practically, the most practical way for us to reach out to these youth is to target not only them, but also their parents as well. And obviously that's no easy task. If you were to ask me today, like, well, what's your plan for doing that? I don't have it all set out. Here's 10 steps to getting to these parents. My plan is to spend time with these kids, is to tell them that, you know, I love them, that Jesus loves them, that I care about them, that I want to be invested in their lives, I want to help them, and that hopefully somehow that leads to meeting their parents as well, to hanging out with them outside of the church, having an opportunity to witness to their parents, hopefully from them seeing what we're doing for them, how much we're caring for them here on Wednesday nights. One really interesting statistic that I read recently said that if a child or a youth becomes a believer, there's only a 3.5% chance that the rest of the family will also become a believer. If the mom in the family becomes a believer, that jumps up to a 17% chance that the rest of the family will become Christians as well. But get this, if the dad if the father in the home becomes a believer, in 95% of all cases that they've studied, the rest of the family becomes a believer. And for me, that just highlights that as much as I want, as much as I need to, as much as right now we basically have to just witness to these students on Wednesday nights and work with them on their own personal faith, that if we're missing out on reaching out to these parents, then we're missing out on an incredible opportunity to evangelize this community. And I want to make the case as well that, and I don't say this to be conceited or look at my ministry or anything like that, but I want to make the case tonight that the youth ministry and reaching out to these youth and their family, in my opinion, is the absolute best opportunity for this church going forward to grow and to reach out to this community. Because we have, like I said, 15 or 20 youth that are coming on Wednesday nights. They're really not even churched, you could say. Even though they come, their families aren't churched. And we have them here. They're coming every single week, and they're attentive, and they're going to listen to the gospel. And so this is an incredible, can't-miss opportunity to grow the church, to minister to this community, to be about what Matthew talked about in making disciples, fulfilling the mission of the church. I think it's just a great opportunity for us to do that. You know, Todd told me right before he left that the youth are pretty rowdy and they kind of want to do their own thing and they're going to act like, you know, I'm too cool for you and we just want to goof off and we don't really care about what you have to say. But he brought out an interesting point and he told me, you know, Brandon, sometimes I will sit down on Wednesday nights with them at the table and I'll look one of them in the eye and I will say, how was your week been? And he said, I can see it in their eye that that's probably the first time this week and the last week and the week before that that anybody sat down and asked them that question. And I look back and I think about all the times in my life growing up as a kid that, I mean, that was just a part of regular conversation. That I talked with my parents. My parents were there to encourage me, to give me advice. They told me they loved me, that they believed in me. I mean, they were such a huge part of my life. But a lot of these kids just don't have that. I mean, they'll tell you straight up, you know, I didn't have any food at home tonight. I came here tonight because you guys had food. I've had a student tell me that. I mean, and that's hard for me to hear because I can't really place myself in that situation. I can't, like, it's very hard for me mentally to go to what would it be like to live in that kind of home where the dad isn't there or where there's alcohol and drug abuse or, you know, you name it, any of the things that they're going through. And I can't look these guys in the eye and say, I know what you're going through. I know what that's like. I've been there, et cetera. And I can't really, like, comfort them in the midst of that. But I do know the one who can comfort them. I know the one who has went through all kinds of struggles, who has borne incredible, incredible sorrows. And so I can offer them the comfort and the hope that comes through Jesus. And let's be honest, that's really the only comfort and hope that any of us really should be placing our faith and trust in. And so that's my goal. My goal is to love on these students, to as best as I know how, by faith in God, to minister to them, to show them that they're cared for, to show them that Jesus loves them, to teach them the gospel, to teach them the importance of following Christ. And it's messy. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But I know that that is a crucial part of the mission of the church. And I know that it's crucial to Vine Street. And I know it's a big part of what we want to do in reaching the community. And so what I want to tell you is that the ways that you can be involved and ways you can be active in what we're doing is really first and foremost through prayer. And that's prayer for the students. That's prayer for me. That's prayer for anybody that comes and helps out on Wednesday nights. It's prayer for the families. It's prayer that these students will be receptive to what we're teaching, that they would hear the gospel and that by grace God would give them a heart that is soft, that will receive it, that they'll see their need and that they'll come to faith in Christ. That's really the main way that you can be participating in the youth ministry at Vine Street. And so I would just encourage you guys. I would really appreciate it. I know I need it. As I said, I'm green here. You know, I'm just getting started, especially transitioning to a new church and a new role. I appreciate the wisdom that comes from talking to so many of you. And so many of you know so much more. I've heard so many stories already of different ways that you ministered or what's worked in the past and things like that. And I appreciate that. And I just encourage you to continue to stay involved in what we're doing. That as best as possible, I hope to make it a ministry that's not so segregated down in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights, but man, I hope that we can have a student or two or four or whatever coming in here on Sunday mornings and worshiping with us, not just being here on Wednesday nights, but becoming a part of the body, and so that they can ultimately come and sing with us here, that they will take the Lord's Supper with us here, they'll hear the preaching with us here, and that one day hopefully they can go out and serve with us here and tell other students and other people as well about Jesus. And that's the goal. That's really what we're hoping to see happen here. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus, God, and we thank you for this message that we have to proclaim, the good news that, Lord, you came down, God, that you came down here first, you came to save us, Lord, you made all the effort, and Lord, it's because you loved us, and God, because of that love, we're able to come here, and we're able to sing about it, we're able to hear about it in your word, and we're able to go on mission together as your church. And God, we just pray for the youth ministry here. God, we pray for the students that come on Wednesday nights. Even as we get started back this Wednesday night, Lord, I just pray that they will come. Lord, even if they come just for a meal, Lord, will you give them hearts that want to hear your truth? Or whatever their motivations are for coming here, if it's just to see a guy or see a girl, Lord, I pray that you will just convict them, that you will help them see the truth of your word, the truth of the gospel in you. Will you show them their need of Jesus, Lord, and will you make them receptive to it? God, we pray that you will greatly grow this ministry, that you will, Lord, give us wisdom and knowing how to minister to these students and to their families as well. And Lord, we recognize that the opportunities cannot come within ourselves, but that you have to give this grace, this mercy to us as a church to be able to reach out to them. And so we just pray that you will do this, Lord, and we believe you and we trust you for these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Stand, and we're going to sing Seek Ye First again.